Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be honoring to you. Amen. Our culture's full of stories of rags to riches, isn't it? Whether Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, folks who drop out of college or don't attend college or do, who make it big and become so wealthy that they are beyond our imagination. We even look up to the luck that people have when they win something like the Mega Millions lottery. We hear, you've got to play to win. So whether by work or luck, we are almost pre-programmed to love these stories. If they aren't about us, and for most they are not, we wish we could be like them, or at least we applaud their success, or maybe we're jealous. Some of us may be happy with our lot in life, but something in most of us, if not all of us, wants to know how they did it. I think that's why there's a whole channel on cable and satellite, or at least there was. Maybe it's gone now. I don't know. Those things change so fast. And it was called the Biography Channel. I don't think we like to know about economic success and fame because we're nosy, but because we are intrigued. How did they get there? We ask ourselves, are they happy? Am I happy? If not, would I be happy if I were them? These people have upward mobility. Everyone from Elvis Presley to our former president, Bill Clinton, each of whom in those examples was born in a small southern shack and thrust into the international spotlight. We like these stories of the way up. And so far, that's Jesus' story too. Jesus, born in Bethlehem, fled to Egypt to escape prosecution, back to Israel, to Nazareth, the son of a carpenter, a humble person, a daily worker like most people were in the time, an everyday sort of person from the very far away human perspective, at least. Of course, we know more. But then, at the age of 30, out of obscurity comes Jesus, fully human and fully divine, but not really well known to the people of his wider region, or certainly the world. And all of a sudden, he's healing people. He's become popular because he helps people. He's become intriguing because he challenges the politicians and leaders of the day. He has become simultaneously a lightning rod and a heroic figure. It's hard for us to read today's gospel from Matthew and to know what's next, just later this week, because it's so fun to cheer and applaud as Jesus is on his way in. We are in the habit of appreciating upward mobility, and on this Palm Sunday, we get to do that. But Christ's triumphal entry, when we know the next steps in the story, puts us in a different mindset, one of considering downward mobility. And we are a people who struggle to appreciate downward mobility as a way to live. That Jesus would give up life, even though he did not have to, that he would be demoted and degraded and cast aside by his own choice, blows us away. Jesus is the Son of God, and we want to see that in the Palm Sunday Christ. We want to look up to a Christ who is on the upswing, who is acclaimed and known and cared for and about, and we want to lay down cloaks and palm branches and pave his way so that he can come into our town and our life triumphantly. But we struggle to want a Christ who allows himself to be punished and hurt for us. Palms are so much fun, and imagining the road is wonderful. That's my God, we want to call out, right on. You go, Jesus. Enter in triumph. You deserve it. And that he does. Jesus deserves our acclaim. Yet we as sinners are part of the people who helped lead him not to upward mobility, but downward mobility. He makes an active decision to be led away to torture and death. He seeks downward mobility, not because it is in any way fun. Remember, he even calls out to God, "Why have you forsaken me?" But in the end, he takes death because it is only through this downward slide that we can be lifted up, that our story of permanent downward mobility in sin can be restored to the upward mobility of forgiveness. Jesus knows with all that he is, his godly and human being, that each of us needs his death in order that we might have everlasting life. We come to this story wishing it was different, wanting the party without the hangover, but we know it has to be this way. From exaltation today, at the beginning of the week, to death on Friday, this is the walk that we witness, and we are the cause. So with that in mind, I invite you to recognize that everything you have, from forgiveness to the things you need, even some of the things you want, everything is from God. And because of God, we are made whole because Jesus was cut down. We are lifted up on the back of Christ. I invite you this Palm Sunday to exult with your palm crosses and to pray and worship our God, who with dignity stepped toward the undignified death on the cross so that each of us could be made right with God in eternity. This story continues, not just on Easter. I invite you to worship God in the coming week right here at Grace as we walk with Jesus toward the cross through our midweek Lenten service online. Then on Easter, when we celebrate the other side of death, the resurrection of Christ. Until midweek, I pray that you find a way to be humbled by Jesus' downward mobility, even as you remember the exaltation he endured on his walk into Jerusalem. And remember how the King of Kings would reign in our hearts, not with human power, but with human vulnerability and sacrifice. Can we laud and worship that fallen King whose fall sets us free? I hope that we can find a way to change our perspective and do just that. Amen.